Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Amen. Great question to ask yourself. I started a few sermons with this thought because it's an important thought. Some of you have never heard me say it. Some of you have heard me say it countless times. I'm going to say it one more time. And I'll probably say it again another time. What would you believe if you just read this, the Bible? What would you believe? What would you believe without anyone around you to explain away the concepts that are in it? What would you believe without someone saying, yeah, I read that, but then I tried it and it didn't work? What would it look like without the podcasts that you've heard that have completely pulled this thing apart and don't want to believe it? What would you actually believe if the only thing you had on a deserted island was this Bible and we picked you up 3 or 4 years later and you'd read this thing through a few times? If I was to say to you, so what do you believe about healing? What would you believe if you only had this? No one else's opinion. No one else's thoughts. Just you and the Word. No distortion. No other noises coming through. What would you believe? What would you believe is available to us? What would you believe that the Bible is actually telling us to do? What would you believe that would completely honor God? You know, it wouldn't take you long as you began to read this thing. So you'd open it up and it would say New International Version. So that's the first thing you would believe, that it's new, it's international, and it's a version. And then you'd read Holy Bible, then you'd read Zondervan. You don't know who that is, but you'd keep reading anyway. And then it would say that it was copyrighted in 1973, so you'd believe that, and you know, and then you'd get to this sort of table of contents, and then you'd open up to like Old Testament, and then it would say, in the beginning, God created the heavens. Oh, I always thought it was like science, and okay, so it was God. Well, I didn't know that, but the world is really old. Yeah, God can create old things. When he created Adam, he was a mature male. God didn't create Adam as a baby. He was mature. So we can actually have a very old earth, but actually it'd be quite new. That's free. That's just because when Jesus turned water into wine, remember it was really, really good wine? You only get really, really good wine because it's been aged. Boom. Come on, bit of credit. Yeah. Like Theo liked that. I can tell. See, tradies like that sort of talk. It's like, yeah, please make sense of this thing. So you'd be reading your Bible and you'd be like, well, yeah, God created the heavens and the earth, and then he said, let there be light. Oh, okay, he's all right. Then you sort of get to about like chapter 2-ish, chapter 3, and it wouldn't take you long before you actually read a whole lot earlier than that, actually, Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. This is what you would read next. And then God made man, then it says, and God blessed them. So if without anyone to talk you out of it, you would actually believe, I'm blessed. That's what you would believe, because God blessed them. And he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and the animals that scurry along the ground. You've been blessed. And you know, it's really important, when we're talking finances, man, it's important to start from that place. It's really important. And I'm going to show you why it's important. Because the word blessed actually means divinely or supremely favored and fortunate. Do you know what this tells me? It tells me that God's not against you. If you're in business, if you're an employee, if you're trying to just get ahead, there isn't a big God in the universe saying, no, I don't want you to do well. That's not your Bible. That's what your next door neighbor says to you. That's what your grandma and your auntie might say, but the Bible is not saying that to you. The Bible is saying, I want you blessed. I want you to be favored and highly favored and fortunate. I want you to actually do well. You would actually then go on to read that word, blessed, another 495 times as you read your Bible. Do you know what other word you would also find? You would actually find the word prosper 101 times in your Bible. Now, some of you, let me just say this right up front. Lifehouse Church has a reputation. Sorry, guys, this is just the absolute truth, all right? If you're thinking of joining this church, let me warn you. We have a reputation. And the reputation is that we are that church. Ah, Lifehouse, that's that church that sort of believes in, like, that God wants to prosper them. And that's supposed to be a negative, by the way. I'm like, wow, is that what people really say about us? Are we actually teaching people? Because listen, what's the opposite of that? That God wants to curse you. So if I have to choose between someone at High Point saying, oh, Lifehouse, that's that church that believes that you're blessed, rather than, oh, Lifehouse, that's the church that believes you're cursed, I go with this cut. Is that okay? So I'm happy to be the prosperity church, the blessing church, the God's with you church, God's not against you church, it's all going to be okay. I'm really comfortable to be that. Now, is everyone living that? Probably not, but we're going to work out maybe why. And let's see if we can help you go on a journey. But this is what it says about Isaac. Isaac was Abraham's son. And in chapter 26, verses 12 to 13, can you read this out with me, please, with a really loud voice? 1, 2, 3. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in that same year 100-fold, and the Lord... Okay, next. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became... Like, really, God? 3 times in one verse? Like, we really, like, are you getting it? It's okay. It's okay. Don't feel guilty with what God wants to do in your life. You're going to see by the end of this message, please adopt that. Please, please be prosperous. Because by the end of the message, you're going to be saying, God, please prosper me. I believe it with all my heart. Because you're going to see that this is God's will for your life. But listen, not just in finances. This is where it goes a bit deeper. Everyone say, ooh. Okay, because this is where it gets deeper. 3 John chapter verse 2. He says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in some things. And but that's the way some of us read it. So you believe God wants to prosper you in your spiritual life. And God wants to prosper how much I read the word. And God wants to just, and they're all holy, beautiful things. And God wants to prosper my prayer life. But he actually wants to prosper all things. If you're a runner, he wants to bless your running. If you're a cyclist, he wants to bless that as well. If you're a hairdresser, he wants to give you some great ideas to create some different hairstyles. He actually wants to bless you and prosper you in all things, and that you would be in health just as your soul prospers. Do you know what the Bible is telling you? You actually prosper from the inside out. So if you don't get this on the inside, guys, it's very hard for God to bring it on the outside when you don't believe it on the inside. God is a microwave. He always works from the inside out. He's not a conventional oven. Are you seeing that? So as you begin to prosper on the inside, the Bible says you, as your soul prospers, you will prosper in all things and be in health. Isn't that great news? So I'm just trying to take you on a journey, because for a lot of us, we haven't adopted this. What we've actually adopted is what we call a poverty mentality. And the poverty mentality basically suggests to us that somehow we are quite spiritual if we're broke. Now, let's make sure that you're not hearing what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you are any more spiritual, loved by God, favored by God. God doesn't love you anymore, whether you are wealthy or broke. It makes no difference to him. But listen, there is no doubt about it that wealth and prosperity, guys, it does start from the inside out as you begin to believe what God has designed for us. Some of you are still like, I'm still not convinced about that, Pastor Rich. Okay, Psalm 35, verse 27. Here we go. It says, let them, come on, can you say this with me, but with some passion, are you ready? Let them shout for joy and be glad who favour my righteous cause. Does anyone favour God's righteous cause? Yeah, that's us. Okay. It says, let them say continually, here it goes, is what you're supposed to say, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Poke the person beside you and say, that's talking about you, you povo. Is that hard? Parents, show of hands, please. Parents, please, just show of hands. Parents, is that hard for us to believe that we have a Father in heaven who takes delight in our prosperity? I've got a son. I've got 2 daughters. I love them all dearly. You know what? They are prospering, and nothing gives me more joy than to see them get contracts that they've been trying to go for, succeeding in their studies, buying cars that are safe for them to drive. I am loving my kids prospering. What's the opposite of that? Dad, I can't get a job. Yay! No. Really? Really? Well, guess what? I'm not a better dad than him. Yeah. And if I get happy when you prosper and you're happy when I, why wouldn't there be a God in heaven who also loves it when you prosper and things are moving forward and we're going well? Let me say this again. There is nothing spiritual about being broke. I'm going to go one step further and say it's actually a little bit selfish sometimes. If you willingly choose to be someone who rejects God's blessing and choose to be broke, I'm going to show you why in a moment. But let me make something very clear if Lifehouse is your home, and I'm going to declare it as publicly as I can and with all my heart. I have a dream for every one of you. And if you want to reject it, you can, by all means. But some of you are going to say, I receive that. I want every one of you to own homes. I want you to own them. I want every one of you to own homes. Why? Because I don't want a landlord telling you what to do for the rest of your life. If you want to paint your wall green, paint it green. You want to have a pet, you have a pet. You want to sell the thing, you sell the thing. You want to have a boarder come with you, you come and have a boarder with you. You want to change the garden, change it. It brings some freedom with it. So I want that for you. I also want you all completely out of debt in Jesus' name. I want credit cards gone. I want you to be winning. I want you to drive safe cars. It's not about, wow, what a glamour car. I don't care what it looks like. It could look dog ugly. But listen, and some of you, can you stop buying dog ugly cars, by the way? Like, my gosh, if you're going to spend that much money, buy something nice. Anyway, I want a safe car. I want airbags all the way. I don't want to go to the hospital to have to pray for you for something that could have been avoided if you just had an airbag. So is that okay? Parents, try and buy your kids the best car you can for them that keeps them safe. Don't do the whole, oh, I did it tough. Stop that. Who taught you that? Mate, I am trying to put my kids in the safest car at ABS, airbags. If I could actually be in the car just sort of sitting in front of them to protect them, I would. None of this, oh, let them buy. What? Why? Why? Why would I could buy a car for my kids that actually stops in 8 meters rather than 38 meters? Is this okay? So I have a dream for you. I want you to do really, really well in life. I want you to be able to live where you want to live. I want you to be able to go on holidays whenever you feel like you need it. Not to be lazy, but you know, resting is an important part of the Christian journey. And some of us haven't had a rest for 8 years, and God himself would say, that's insanity. God himself rested, but you don't need to. Wow. Come on. That deserved a better amen than that. No, seriously. Yeah, God himself said, I've worked hard. Created a whole universe, I'm going to rest. So he went to Bali, apparently. But anyway. Is that okay that I have a dream for you? But my greatest desire is that you would have enough wealth and prosperity that you can fulfill the purposes of God on your life. That's what I desperately want to see happen. I want you to fulfill your purpose. And I've got no shame in saying this, guys. You know what? Let's not have a culture in our church where the biggest amen and the biggest thing that goes on around here is because someone received a miracle of a financial gift, or, hey, someone gave me a car. Thank you. Hey, that's wonderful. It's awesome. But I've got to be honest. I'm in a life group, and maybe it's just my life group. I don't know. But I'm in a life group full of guys that are really prospering. Do you know they have never once actually glorified God because someone gave them something? Do you know what my life group all do? We spend the whole time talking about how they blessed someone else with a car. These guys are in such a position that they're not thanking God because of what they received. They're thanking God of what they're able to give away. Listen, stop making the pinnacle of your Christian walk what you can receive. I've got enough faith to receive a car. No, have enough faith to give away a car and to give away another car. Give away a house. Give away aeroplanes. Give it away. Not, oh, I can receive. Thank God for the people that have got it that can give it away. Now, listen, if you're not in that position, no judgment, it's all good. There's no judgment in this message. All I'm saying is if God wants to do it, don't stop him. That's all I'm trying to say to you. So is that okay? I'm not saying you're less than. I'm not saying God loves you less or you're not pleasing to God. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying some of us, God's trying to bring it and you're like, no, because I was told that it was spiritual to be broke. Who told you that? Because Jesus was broke. Richard, read your Bible. And I'm just trying to be like Jesus. Well, the Bible says that he was made poverty stricken so that we could be rich. Now, that's the Bible that says that to you. Now, listen, you're like, what are you talking about, rich? I thought rich people like go to hell. Because like Jesus was, whenever a parable always started with, there was once a rich man, that guy ends up, going to hell, right? So like rich, I can't believe you just said that word rich. Let me tell you what wealth is. I've said it once before, I'm going to say it again. Wealth is when you've got enough money to achieve the dreams and visions of your heart. If you only need $13 to do that, God bless you. But as far as I can tell, most of us need about 1.3 million at least to sort of get something done around here. Is that right? I want to plant churches, guys. It costs more than $13 to do that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So listen, there's nothing spiritual about it because Jesus was made poor that we might become rich. In other words, Jesus has paid the price so that the floodgates of heaven can start flooding into our life. Come on, open up your heart, receive it. Just say, God, if it's available, I'll have it. Absolutely. I'm not going to fight you. Deuteronomy 15:6. Are we getting somewhere tonight? Is this okay? Yeah. What about you guys at the back? Are you all right? Yeah, great, good, all right. Okay, you're with me. Deuteronomy 15:6 says, for the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised. Listen to this. This is God speaking to his people, not to a person, to people. And then he says, you will lend to many nations, but you will borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but no one will rule over you. All of a sudden, we're starting to see what this prosperity thing is all about. See, God says, you're going to be blessed. And then the very next comment he makes is, you're going to lend. You know, I can't lend out my lawnmower if I don't have one. You know, it'd be pretty weird. My neighbor, hey, Brett Rich, can I use your lawnmower? Sure, bro, sure. Come on. Get out to the shed. Nothing in there. Where's your lawnmower? Oh, I don't have one. I just wanted to go for a walk with you. You can't lend anything if you don't have it. Is that right? I had some people that I know of, and they needed a pretty serious gift of money to help them along, and someone was able to give them that money and really got this family out of a bit of trouble. You know what? They blessed them. They had it, therefore they were able to give it. Are you seeing? Listen, we need to get to a place that it's not just about you and your prosperity. You need to get to a place where things are just so good for you and you're so blessed that when someone has a need because they haven't achieved that yet or something has gone wrong, we are able to give. That's how the family of God works together. That's how this whole thing comes together. Okay, write this down if you're taking notes. I know we don't take notes in this church because I move way too quick, but let's just go slow just for a moment. If you're writing down anything, just write this down. The greatest thing, G-R-E, okay. The greatest thing that you can do for the poor is don't be one of them. No judgment. Let's just be honest. The greatest thing you can do for a poor person who needs some money is take some money out of your wallet and give it to them. But if you don't have it, you can't even help that poor guy. So when you're poor and they're poor, no one can help each other. All you do is sit together and talk about how poor you are. But when one person breaks that cycle, but he's not greedy, selfish, all of a sudden, you know what? We can fix a lot of stuff in Africa. All of a sudden, we can start fixing malaria. We can start fixing up childhood abuse. We can start fixing up poor, battered women who, you know, right now there's a woman coming home. Imagine our church had enough money, we could just go buy homes all over our city and women who have been battered could just go and stay there and be able to escape those bashings and beatings. All it takes is money, guys, and we can do some great stuff. But listen, I can't ask you to do that. Hey, church, next week, come on, let's buy a $1.2 million home over in, Pastor Rich, we'd love to, but we don't have it. What a shame. Wouldn't it be great if we could say, yeah, no worries, Pastor. Let's do it 8 times over. But I understand that you can't give it if you don't have it. So all I'm trying to get you to do right now is to say, okay, well, let's bring this prosperity thing on then, if that's the case, and let me be blessed in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a huge round of applause. Woo-hoo! Okay, so this is where the rubber hits the road with this message now. Okay, now we're going to take a left turn. So are we all convinced that it's okay to prosper? Are we all convinced that it's okay to be blessed? No one's got a problem with it anymore. If you do, please come and see me later. I'd love to talk to you about it. I know that there is a balance, and maybe some guys are called to be poverty stricken, no problem, but I'm pretty sure you're also going to say to me, and can you fund me when I want to go to Africa? And that's fair enough. If that's what God's called you to poverty, then we will help you. But the rest of us, we have to help that guy or girl get there. Is that all right? Okay. Remember, I've told you once or twice before, when I put a shirt on, come on, preach with me. What do I need to do? Come on, what do I need to do if I'm putting a shirt on? All I got to worry about is the top button. That's all I got to worry about is get the top. If I just get the top button right, I can do the rest of it with my eyes closed, having a conversation. It's just because it all just matches if I get the top. But if I get one button off skew, I've done this before and a little bit of hair came out and everyone lost respect for me, so I'm not doing it again. All right? It sort of gave credit to the whole evolution theory and everything. Anyway. If I don't get the top button right, what happens? The whole thing is misaligned now. Now listen, if you don't understand what the top button is when it comes to prosperity, if you don't understand what it is, then greed will get you. Selfishness will get you. All the negative things that the Bible has to say about finances and the way in which it can distract us from the kingdom will get you. So what is it that we are meant to do? What's the top button? Matthew 6:33. It's always Matthew 6. It's always. Come on, do we all know what Matthew 6:33 is? Of course. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So listen, you know that last part, that all these things shall be added unto you? That's the wealth and blessing part. We're actually not supposed to chase wealth, guys. I'm gonna highly recommend to you, stop chasing prosperity. Stop chasing money. Chase your purpose. Chase what God has called you to do. Chase it. Find out what God's called you to, because you may not need a whole lot to achieve your purpose, or you may need a heck of a lot to chase your purpose. But God says, listen, I'll make sure that you're funded as long as you make the effort to discover what your purpose is. Let me say it to you this way. The Bible says, don't chase wealth, chase wisdom. Do you know it's wisdom that builds wealth? All it takes is an idea. I'm looking across the room right now. I reckon just in this section over here, there's been about four guys in the last 3 or 4 months that God's given them an idea. Then they've done their maths, they've used wisdom, and all of a sudden wealth is starting to come into their households. But it started with wisdom. They're actually not chasing the dollar. What they're actually chasing is, God, what have you got for me? What are you doing with my life? And they're going for it. Hey, listen, nowhere did Jesus say chase wealth. He said, seek first the kingdom. Now listen, once you get the top button right, then God can start bringing the adding. Is that okay? Let me say it to you differently. Don't chase possessions, chase your purpose. And then all of a sudden, God starts bringing the things that you need. This is what Jesus said about this. Luke 12:15. Then Jesus said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. And here's the top button. Life is not measured by how much you own. Life is not measured by that, guys. It's measured by, are you obeying God? Are you doing what God's called you to do? Some of us would know the story of the parable of the rich man. And the rich man had some crops and he had a little barn. And one year he had a bumper crop. Do you remember this? He had a bumper crop. And he had so much crop that he brought it all into his barn. And what happened? It was completely full. So he had enough to survive and to do what he had to do. So what's he going to do with all this other crop? The other harvest. What's he meant to do with the harvest? Well, I think we know what Jesus would have liked him to do. There were people that were starving to death everywhere. He had his barns full. I think what Jesus was expecting him to do is to say, listen, God, you've blessed me so much. I'm so blessed. My barn's full. Who needs something? And he was supposed to give it out. But no, do you know what Jesus told us he did? He tore down his small barn and he built a bigger one. And he took all that bumper crop and he put it into his bigger and better barn. The small one would have done just fine. But it wasn't for him. No, he just wanted more and more and more. So here's the question for you, Lifehouse. Are you ready? Hold your jaw. Get ready. How much is enough for you? How much is enough for you? Put a number on it and honor God. Because I've got a funny feeling that if you said, oh, you know what? If I just had $2 million in my bank account, then anything after that, I would just start giving it away. Yeah, you'd be surprised. A new Ferrari comes out soon. And we need a bigger house. And we just need more stuff and more stuff. And if you don't do up your top button first, it'll never be enough. Now, do we know how the story ends with the rich man? I think Jesus tells us pretty clearly how it all ends. Luke 12, 20, here it comes. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything that you worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. Are you getting this? Are you getting it? That's Jesus making it very clear. Listen, it's not about the wealth. The wealth is supposed to do something. It's supposed to get your kids through the best school that you want them to go through. It's supposed to get you to a place where you can stop thinking about yourself, stop struggling, and then look up and go, now how can I help? But you're not going to do that when you're struggling yourself. You're not, when you're just going from paycheck to paycheck and can't even make it, you're not going to be looking up to see who you can help. That's why it's okay to be blessed. Welcome it. But listen, once it starts flowing in, start looking up and start saying, okay, thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you so much. That's awesome. My barn's full. It's only a small barn, but it's awesome. Thank you. Now I'm going to be giving it away. I'm going to help that young college student go to college. I'm going to help that young, what about the single mum who can't even afford a car? And you're thinking of upgrading to the like why? Now, I understand, keep upgrading if you want. That's no great sin. But like, at what point do we look up? At what point do we look up and go, you know what, God, thank you so much. I'm so blessed. And then we just go, I'm just going to help someone. Do you know, there are some young people in our church and, you know, they could be absolute guns if they were just given the right opportunity. But their families, for some reason, haven't really invested in them. They haven't believed in them. But you know what? There's people in our church that if you would just invest a little bit, you would get back so much from their life. Come on, it's time. It's time. That's what wealth is all about, guys. Can you see that it's the furthest thing from greed? Can you see how it's the furthest thing from selfishness? It's actually quite selfish not to prosper. Isn't that true? When you see it that way, it's like, I can do so much and help so much. But we've put a limit on it and thought, no, that's enough. It's not great to just sort of, well, that's enough for me, so I don't need to do anything else now. There was a business guy in our church, it's about 4 years ago, and he got to the place where his business was so successful that all he needed to do was work 3 days a week. And then what he would do is he was actually employing other people to work those other days for him because he just didn't need the money. And I said to him, but if you did continue to work, you would have those two extra days that you could actually do something with. And he had never thought about that before. So he actually just continued to work. It wasn't hard work. He was getting bored anyway. But he just continued to work and he was generating a great income. And that's one of the guys that actually helped us to plant the Poznan Church. But if he just, isn't that great? Isn't that fantastic? But if he just had a thought, you know what? I don't need it. So I won't do anything about it. No, come on. There's a whole world out there. And listen, I'm telling you now, retiring is one of the most dangerous things you can do. I'm not sure about this whole retirement thing, to be honest. I'm not sure whether it's the plan of God. Now, I understand we need to slow down. You can't do what you used to do. But listen, if you stop living at your purpose, then why are you on the earth? No, God's purposes don't end, friends. So we just keep doing what we're doing. Even if you're a grandma, just keep mentoring your grandkids. But you don't retire from that. You just keep loving them, keep bringing them up in God. Come on, give someone a high five if you know what I'm talking about tonight. This is what I believe with all my heart. Are you ready for this? This is what I believe with all my heart. Find your passion. Find your purpose. Listen, prosperity comes looking for you. We stood up here as a church and we said, you know what? We need a sensory room. Isn't that what we said? We just need it. And so we were doing a bit of fundraising here and a little bit of fundraising there and a bit of, you know, I think God looked down from heaven and said, woo, purpose. Ooh, what's going on down at Lifehouse? What are they doing? Angels, tell me. Oh, they're talking about helping special needs children. Ooh, that'd be the only church in Victoria that's doing that. Wow, you know what? Get them some money. Oh, angels, what do we do? Oh, let's talk to the government and let's get them to start this pick my project thing and let's, you know, blah, 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 blah. Long story short, $180,000 for Lifehouse. Right? Did we go into this going, you know what? Let's just chase 180 grand. How can we make 180 grand, someone? What can we do to make 100? No, we found the passion. We found the purpose. And God said, yeah, I'll pay for that. I love that. Find your purpose. Find your passion. Find the thing that God says, ooh, what's Sammy Carter up to? Ooh. Do you like that? I don't know whether God does that, but let's just pretend he does. It's probably more, ooh. What's Sammy Carter up to? Oh, he wants to do free lessons, free piano lessons for the community. Ooh, okay. Now, I'm not putting that on you, but you better do it. It was prophetic, bro, all right? No, he just passed it over to this. But, hey, listen, find, and then say to God, God, this is what I want to do. Can you help me fund it? That's what it's all about. We're not chasing wealth around here. No, we are actually not the prosperity church. We're actually the purpose church. That's what people should be saying. And but they should complete the sentence and say, you know what? Oh, that purpose church that God seems to continually provide for, that's who we are. Amen? You know what? I've run out of time, but man, I've got so much to say. But I'm going to keep saying it. You know, we at Kingdom, yeah, come on. Kingdom Builders, listen. Some of you are at Kingdom Builders. Give me a shout, Kingdom Builders. Ooh, yeah, here you are. Okay, Kingdom Builders is our are the people who honestly feel from God that they are to fund the kingdom of God. All right? They believe it with all their heart. Do you know, there was a guy that we had at our dinner. His name was Andrew Denton. And he got the revelation, he and his wife, and this was their revelation. Are you ready? He goes, God, I'm not earning a lot of money at the moment, but I really want to finance the kingdom of God. Do you know, that got him motivated and he started thinking and praying. All of a sudden, he becomes a property developer. And the reason for becoming a property developer was so that he could fulfill his purpose. And then he went on to tell us, and it was appropriate that he did, because he was there to tell us that. He was there to be a speaker for us, so there was no need to be all secretive. But it wasn't too long ago that he actually gave a $1 million check to his church. Isn't that amazing? A $1 million check to his church. Listen, don't feel sorry for him. You're like, you guys are like, oh, the poor guy. No, because we're all going to get to heaven one day. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, it's not about this earth. Jesus said, be generous so that you can be rich toward God. So we're going to walk into heaven one day and we're all going to be like, God. And he'll say, yeah, you guys, just move out of the way. Let me talk to Andrew Denton for a minute. Why? Because there's a man, listen, it's not about the amount, by the way, because that was a sacrifice for him. So if it's a sacrifice for you, it's the same thing. All I'm trying to say to you is, he got there because he had a purpose. Now listen, when he gets to heaven, there is a reward for that, guys. You can't outgive God. You're not going to get to heaven and God's going to say, oh no, Donna's here. I owe her so much money. What am I going to get? Guys, does anyone have anything? Because Donna's here and I gave, like she gave and now I'm broke. Is that what's going to happen, you think? No. He's going to richly reward. We feel sorry for people that do that. But we're going to get to heaven one day. We're going to so regret that we actually didn't do more of that for the kingdom of God and to help people and to love people. And to help young people move forward in their life, to see people to be made safe so that people can have the right education, the right medication. Come on, let's help people. Listen, let me just bring it all the way back around. You can't help anybody if you've got nothing. So receive it. Get rid of the poverty mentality. Give it to the person at the end of your rope. Guys, you just keep shoving it on to the other guys and give it to Satan right over there. All right? Don't receive it. This is what I'm asking you to do. God, all right, I'm happy to be blessed. I want to do it your way though. I don't want the blessing to take me away from you. Okay? But you know, God can bless every one of us. He can give you one idea. One idea. Uber. Oh, you know what? I'll create an app where people can just sort of like order a cab just like off an app. Bang, worldwide. $16 billion company. An idea, that's all it was. It's an idea. God can give you that idea. Hey, come on. Listen, we just missed out on a building for East Campus. $2.3 million. That's all it was. And East Campus would have had a building that we would have been in. Huge place, heaps of car parks. But someone else has bought it and they're going to put badminton in there. So instead of the gospel being preached and a young person not committing suicide, we've given that up for this. All because of this stuff called money. And not much of it either. So come on, please, can you receive it? Because wouldn't it have been great if I could have quickly got up and just said, hey guys, we found the building, only 2.3 million. You know what? There's 23 of us here. Come on, everybody, put your 100 grand in. Yeah, is there 100 grand here? Done. Did I get my maths right? Yeah. I don't want to rip anybody off, that's all. Come on, get to your feet. Get to your feet. This is your action plan. Are you ready? I never want you to use the words, I'm going to be broke. I'm never going to do well. That's not your vocabulary anymore. Your vocabulary is, I'm blessed. You know, God wants me to prosper as my soul prospers. Come on, let it come out of your mouth. God's called me to prosper. Yeah, God's called me to be blessed. He blessed Adam and Eve right from the start. You're blessed. That's who you are. You're blessed. That's who you are. You're called to prosper in your business, your relationships, every area. We're not called to be held back. Amen? So come on.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.